Well, let me invite you to get your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And while you're turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, let me ask you a question. When you think about Jesus, what immediately goes through your mind? Well, probably most every one of us would say, well, we think about someone who is our Savior, someone who is our Lord, someone who gave His life for us that we could have everlasting life. Someone that's going to come and get us someday and take us to heaven. And those are all true. But when you come to the Gospel of John, one of the truths of Jesus and one of the character traits of Jesus all through down the centuries has been that of a shepherd. And there's no one that depicts John any better or that depicts Jesus any better than John, who is the good shepherd. And so tonight we're going to look at the second part in our series, The Truths That Transform. And we're going to look at Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Because if there is something you and I need to be conscious about and understand, it is simply this. We don't know how to go through life by ourselves. We don't know how to face problems by ourselves. We don't know how to handle life by ourselves. And so Jesus makes it very clear that for you and for me, He is our shepherd. And in the Gospel of John chapter 10, I want you to look at verses 11 through 18. I want you to listen very carefully to what Jesus says. Beginning in verse 10. Let's go look at verse 10 through verse 18. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees, because he is an hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And I want you to look back in verse 3 because this verse is very significant. In verse 3, well, Jesus is saying, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, I want you to listen carefully to verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In other words, Jesus is saying in that one passage of Scripture, I want you to know, as a porter knows his sheep, I know my sheep. Now, I want to give you three principles tonight that I hope that you'll get in your heart and get in your spirit, because there are some truths in this passage of Scripture that will literally transform your life and my life as we allow our mind and our spirit and our soul to meditate on them, because we live in a scared world. We live in a frustrated world. We live in an anxious world. But when Jesus comes to this, when he speaks to his disciples, he said, I want you to understand who I am towards your life. Because in the Gospel of John and in these particular passages, he is talking about himself as a shepherd. You remember last week we said that he was the door. In other words, there was no door, nothing could get to the sheep but what it came by him. And that's the case in your life and my life. Nothing can get by our life but what, first of all, it comes by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and into our life. So I want you to jot some principles down this evening. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 11, I want you to look down at the character of our shepherd. In verse 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, whenever you read that in the King James Version, you don't get all of the meaning of that, but literally it means, I am the lovely shepherd, I am the beautiful shepherd, I am the noble and genuine shepherd. And what Jesus is saying to you and me as his people, as his children, is this, I want you to understand that my character is absolutely beautiful and lovely because there is one thing that I care about. I care about the agenda of the Father, and you're a part of the agenda of the Father. And you see, twice in this phrase, he said, I'm the good shepherd. In other words, Jesus says, I want you to understand that I love you infinitely. When you look in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, you know, the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. In other words, when you live life and you're walking through life, you're not walking through life haphazardly. You're not going through life without someone being concerned about you. The Bible says we have Christ living on the inside of us. The Bible says he is our shepherd. In other words, there is not going to be any thieves, any marauders, anybody going to bother us. But what, first of all, you know, we're always warned by the Lord. And you know, he had spoken of those thieves who climb in and steal, and he'd spoken of the wolves and the fearsome beast, and he talked about the hireling. He said, a hireling runs away. Why? Because a hireling is exactly that. He's hired. But Jesus said, I am the shepherd and you're my sheep. In other words, Jesus was listening, was speaking to his disciples, wanting them to listen to him ever so carefully. He says, I want you to get it in the very fabric of your soul. I want you to get it in the fabric of your mind and your being that you don't walk through this earthly life without a divine shepherd always overseeing and guarding your life. And as I shared last week, so many times we walk through life as though we're on our own, we're doing our own thing, and we're trying to get through life the best way we can. That is absolutely unbiblical and unscriptural, because there is no way that that can happen. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that as our shepherd, he loves his sheep infinitely. In other words, you and I are loved infinitely by our shepherd. What does he do? He makes it his business to protect you. Sometimes throughout life, we get scared and we get excited and we're, you know, we're afraid, you know, this big, bad, evil world. You are not just left to the forces of this wicked and ungodly world. The Bible says we have the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, upon us, around us, and nothing can happen to you and me but what, first of all, it comes by him. And so he says, I want you to understand that I love you intimately. And he says, I want you to understand that I know you deeply. I want you to look at verse 3. The shepherd, there's something special about the Middle East shepherd that you and I cannot comprehend. Number one, he knows his sheep, and he knows them by name. They'd give them all sorts of little names. You know, they'd give them little names because they were their sheep. I never will forget my mother one time gave a little cow that she and Dad had, a little miniature cow, and she gave it a name. She gave it a little pet name by the name of Cleo. And, you know, Dad would name them, Mom would name them, and you know, Mom would say to Dad, said, now, Dad, where's old Blackie? And I'd listen to call them all their cows and, you know, steers and animals by name. And one day we noticed that Cleo was gone. And I thought, Mom, where's Cleo? And I knew by the look in her face that I don't need to ask any more questions. But listen to what Jesus says. I want you to listen very carefully. He says he calls his own sheep by name. Listen, here's what Jesus says to you and me, and you need to get it in your heart. I know you by your name. I don't know what that does to you, but it ought to do something. If you was known by the Queen of England and she knew your first, middle, and last name, that would be exciting. If somebody of real significance in some arena of life, you know, called you up and knew you by name, you know, you would be awfully excited about it. Our president of our Southern Baptist Convention was called by the President of the United States, and Dr. Luter was sharing the story just in an article, and his cell phone rang, and on the other end, someone said, would you please hold for the president? And Dr. Luter held, and he thought it was somebody playing a prank, and he could hear the theme of the presidential theme in the background. And on the other end was President Obama. And President Obama said this, how does it feel to be the most popular black man in the world? And that's when Dr. Luter said that it hit me for the first time, because our first black president of the Southern Baptist Convention. It'd be something for the president to call you and to call you by name. But you need to get in your mind, you need to let it transform your being, that the sovereign of the universe, the most significant person in the universe, in the world, knows you by your first, middle, and last name, and he knows every microscopic detail of your life. So why should you feel inferior? Why should you feel a bit concerned? Jesus said, I know my sheep. He said, I know them by name. And you see, you know, there is nothing about you. There's no strength. There's no defect. There's no problem. There's no situation you face that you ever have to inform the Lord about. You don't ever have to say, you know, Father, I need to give you some information about what's going on in my life because I know you're busy with about 6 billion other people. That's the way we approach him a lot of times. But there's nothing that you face but what he knows you by name. And Jesus said, I want you to understand that. But secondly, I want you to understand how concerned he is. I want you to listen very carefully to what he says. And I want you to look in verse 16. In verse 16, he said, another sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. When you read John 10:16, there's something special about that verse. Because that was the theme verse of David Livingstone. By the way, if you would by chance happen to go to Westminster Abbey in England and find out where David Livingstone is laid, you would find a verse similar like this or this verse on his tomb. Listen to what Jesus makes clear, and I want you to listen to the heart cry. You know, the concern. In verse 16, he says, them also I must bring. And that little word bring is the thought of the shepherd seeking the sheep. How many of you remember seeing the picture, and you may have it in your house, there is a little sheep, and it's almost over a ravine, and there is a shepherd, and he's reaching down with everything he has. Why? Because that sheep is about ready to be gone. That sheep is lost, and that sheep needs return to the fold. Sometimes we really forget how intimately concerned our Lord is with our lives. Listen, he don't have the mind like you and I do. We forget 1,000 things. But when you look at verse 16, he says, I have to bring them. In other words, it's my business to bring them into the sheepfold. And by the way, in Mideast times, and when you would travel to the Mideast, you would see those shepherd fields in Bethlehem, Jerusalem. You would find two shepherds. They would get together. And all of the sheep would be combined together. And when they would go their separate ways, the shepherds would be singing most of the time. And as he would sing, he would call his sheep. And every one of them would separate because they would know the voice tone of their shepherd. Jesus said, I know my sheep. I have a concern for my sheep. And the truth about it is, we need to understand that that's who he is. It's not part of what he does. He's not like, you know, and sometimes we just forget that he's concerned, he's interested, every detail of our life. You know, the Bible makes it clear that he seeks the sheep. And also the Bible makes it very clear that he shelters the sheep. You know, when he says in this one verse, he said there's one flock. In other words, he is the shepherd of all the sheep of God. You know, you think about those who have gone on. You think about those that are already in heaven. You think about all of those that have walked out of this life into eternity. And there's a lot of sheep, but some of us are on this earth and some are in heaven. I think of family, I think of parents and grandparents and neighbors and relatives that they're part of the flock of God in heaven. We're part of the flock of God on this earth. But there's going to be a time that there's going to be the collective group of the sheep of God together under the very voice of Jesus Christ. I like what I heard a preacher say one time. As the good shepherd, Christ gave his life for his sheep. As the great shepherd, he rose from the dead to care for his sheep. And as the chief shepherd, he'll come again for his sheep. You know, we don't ever need to forget that he's going to come and get us. I never will forget hearing Dr. Paul Chitwood. Dr. Paul Chitwood preached this message, and one illustration he shared. He's our executive secretary. But Dr. Chitwood shares the story that he was raised in a broken home. His mom and dad divorced when he was just a very young boy. He never knew what it was to be in a home where there was a mom and dad. And he said, my dad would let me go with my mom. And he said, and I would go, but he said, whenever I would go, he said, I'd just cry. And he said, I'll never forget the voice of my dad. He said, son, you go on. I'll be to get you in a couple of days. Folks, that's what we need to remember. We're here in this world and in this time and in this life, but our Lord's going to come and get us symbolically in just a few days. It's not going to be long that we're going to be with him, because he makes it his business to know his sheep by name, and not a single one is left out. You know, in this cold world, seems like it's getting colder every day. You dial a phone and you always get a recording. You don't get a live voice anymore. You get, you know, press 1 for English or press 2 for English. Or, you know, here's another number. Call this number. You and I need to be very reminded that we've got a shepherd who cares for us. And then thirdly, listen to what the call is. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they what? Follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, he said, I want you to understand, I know my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And he doesn't say, you know, they hope they have eternal life, and they may have eternal life, but there is a response in every one of us to the shepherd. You know, sometimes somebody will come up to you and they'll say, you know, well, why do you live this way? And why do you walk this way? Why do you? Because we're listening to our shepherd. We're listening to our Lord. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It ought to be the most normal thing in your life to follow the voice of your master. We don't know where we're going sometimes. I think of some of each of our lives, and some of you found your way here and you didn't realize you was going to be here someday. But it was by the majestic, marvelous hand of Holy God, because you followed him. You did something that he told you to do. Listen, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He said another, they won't follow. Why are you here tonight? Because you want to follow the voice of your shepherd. You want to listen to the voice of your shepherd. And he says, I want you to know that there's eternal life involved. You know, he said, it's not a hope so. We don't have a hope so faith, and maybe so faith, or possibly faith. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift. I don't know about you, but one of the joys as you and I live our life, isn't it just a joy to know that, God forbid, if this roof caved in or this things happened today, you know where you would be. You know that you would be in heaven if you're a child of God. Earthquake just the other day in Iran and killed thousands of people, hundreds of people. And one of the first thoughts, I wonder where their eternal home is. But Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. And he says, they're never going to perish. They're my sheep, and they're precious to me. In a world that is mixed up, in a world that is crazy, in a world that is wild, in a world that seems to be out of control, but in reality it's in the Father's hands, here's something you and I need to realize and re-remember. It'll transform our heart and our thinking. My shepherd knows me. He knows me by name. He knows me by need. He knows me by my circumstances and by my situation. And I'm never forgotten. I'm never left out. I'm never abandoned. I'm never alone. That's the promise of our shepherd. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your truth. And Father, tonight, Lord, as we come to this time, Father, thank you that you said you are not was, but you are our shepherd. Father, there's a lot of things that the devil tries to do to get at the sheep of God. But you protect your sheep. You care for your sheep. You always run to the rescue of your sheep. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray for that person here tonight that is without faith in Christ. Father, I pray for them, and I lift them to you. Father, how horrible it would be to live not knowing that there is eternal life in the heart and in the spirit. So, Father, we pray and we ask that. Draw that man, that woman, that boy, that girl to you tonight is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.